I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thunder take a 1-0 lead. League deciding on the tush push. Lots going on today. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. But on Wednesday's Pearl, everything stops. And we turn our attention to the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, let's jump right into it. We always take something loosely based off of the news. And so we are thinking a lot about the NBA playoffs. And eventually someone's going to be crowned an NBA champion. Mm-hmm. And with the four superstars that are left, these are all going to be first-timers. Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards. One of these guys is going to be a first-time champion. And three others are going to be left wanting and waiting till next season. So our question today, who is the greatest player to never win an NBA title?
I feel like actually the hook is Patrick Ewing and the former Knicks are in the news a lot, and they were one of the guys, one of the teams you couldn't get past Jordan. Mm. So if I'll jump in, can I start this? Like,
of course.
I think for to do this debate the right way, it has to be somebody who is boxed out of a title by Michael Jordan. Because Michael Jordan was so transcendent that there are plenty of players who were championship worthy who did not get their ring. It was a weird anomaly in NBA history. Maybe happened a little bit with Bill Russell's Celtics too. But so for me, I went through that list, and the top guy for me out of that is Charles Barkley.
It's his game to win. Here we go to overtime. Barkley 20-footer, yes, with 1.8 seconds. Charles Barkley.
So I actually use as a metric, ESPN in 2022 ranked the 75th anniversary team 1-75. And Charles Barkley was the second highest player on that list of 22 to not have a ring. There's only one player higher. I won't tell you who it is, but someone else picked him. But for me, Barkley clearly would have won an NBA title. He was great enough to do that. It's just he ran into Michael Jordan, who particularly gave him a hard time. Of course, with the Phoenix Suns in the finals and also in the Eastern Conference playoffs when he was a Sixer. Barkley, all-time player, no ring.
What did he average in Chuck? A triple single?
Well, the other thing, too, about Barkley is he's in our living room every night.
He's an idiot and a fool.
So we're constantly getting reminded, specifically on that TNT set by Shaq and Kenny, about how he has no rings when they rib him all the time.
But the funny thing is, some of that humor, yeah, that's very true, but some of that humor takes away from how great a player he was at times. He was, for a guy who was probably 6'4", there is no rebounder. Dennis Rodman was like him, but Charles also had the offense. He was such a crazy rebounder. Like, there's nobody like Charles Barkley. Then he developed a three-point shot, for better or worse. And, yeah, I admit, the character helps.
We're going to send it to Gavison with that dirty-ass water.
Okay. Greatest NBA player to never win a championship. I'm actually going to go to your hometown, bro. And I'm surprised you didn't pick this guy even over Barkley. But, you know, sometimes you tend to hate your own superstars in Philadelphia. I don't know why.
Well, Barkley was. Okay, go ahead.
The greatest player to never win an NBA championship is Allen Iverson.
Bothered by Lowe's. Iverson. Oh. How about that?
It steps over to Ron Lowe's.
Seven straight points by Iverson. Looked like he was dead in the water.
Allen Iverson makes a 103-99.
Okay, the reason why I'm going with Iverson over Barkley, you're saying Barkley was undersized. Well, Allen Iverson, barely 6 feet tall and 165 pounds, and he was one of the fastest players I've ever seen in my entire life, fearless player, and his run to the final was so historic because outside of Dikembe Mutombo, may he rest in peace, that was a not good team. That was not a good team. Charles Barkley played alongside some really great players, but I'm sorry. Theo Ratliff, Eric Snow, George Lynch, Aaron McKee.
These are my guys.
These
you're
are not
about.
Household are names outside of Philadelphia.
The Ratliff sons are playing for Stepanek. I call their games.
Amazing. That's fantastic.
That's Theo Ratliff's kids?
Yeah, bro.
Let's not lose sight of this, guys. We're talking about Allen Iverson right
now. Exactly.
Well, you can't really tell the story of Allen Iverson without Theo Ratliff.
That's what everyone says.
But you're giving me that run to the late. That was when the Eastern Conference was just a setup for the Lakers to tee off on in the finals.
He was playing with a bunch of guys who are not remembered in any legitimate way outside of Mutombo, who's a Hall of Famer. And to me, how Iverson dragged that team to the finals and won an MVP.
Yeah.
With his size and stature, his fearlessness. And by the way, that was a tough time in the NBA. You know, this is not like today. He played in an era where still you could be super physical. He was kind of like, you know, bordered two eras of the NBA in that way. Allen Iverson, to me, the size, the hustle, the heart, he is the greatest player to never win a title. EJ, go ahead.
All right, awesome picks all around. And this is always a tough one for me, especially with basketball, because I say, do I go with my nostalgia? The kids, guys I grew up with, because I would love to pick an Allen Iverson or a Nick, or do I go with historical? Do I do EJ basketball nerd? I'm going to do nerd here because I'm going to go way past my time to talk about a player who is one of the greatest players of all time that I think for some reason we actually forget that he didn't win the title. That is Mr. Elgin Baylor.
Naturally, I think I excelled in some areas more so than others. As far as the hang time, that's nothing you work on. It's just something that comes naturally. The only thing you can do is try to create different shots from different positions. Once you get in the air, that's a gift from God. You either have it or you don't. It's not something that you're just going to develop all of a sudden.
Wow, this is so nerdy you didn't pick a highlight.
Well, I mean, look, it was hard to find highlights, right? Most people don't have, like, Chick Hearn doing games in the mid-60s. But, no, I picked Elgin Baylor. So you're talking about a Hall of Famer, 11-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA player. At one point, he averaged 38 points and 18 rebounds in a season. He also averaged 34 and 19 rebounds in a season. He did all this, by the way, at the height of 6'5". So Elgin Baylor was, in many ways, a pioneer. You saw him talking about his hang time and his leaping ability. A lot of he was kind of like the original. He was the 1.0 version of what then became Dr. J, or really Connie Hawkins, then Dr. J, then Michael, then Kobe, then LeBron. Like, Elgin Baylor really was the original guy that was like this transcendent wing player. So I'm going to go with Elgin Baylor as my pick for the greatest player to never win a title.
What about the argument that he's got a ring?
In what way?
He was on the team. He started the season on a team that won a championship.
Yeah, but then he retired midseason. I don't think that time they were giving them rings, though, because they don't recognize him as a champion.
Gotcha.
If he didn't play in the playoffs.
But he played that season.
Right, but he played 9 games and it was the beginning of the year.
Great debate is. Yeah, I mean, that's a ring.
He's not recognized as an NBA champion.
Yeah. Oh, you can't recognize him.
He's not recognized as a champion.
I recognize him.
Does he have an actual physical ring?
I don't think he does.
Yeah, they gave him a ring.
They did?
Yeah, I'm almost sure of it. I remember that was a big deal.
Huh. All right, let's table that for now.
No, it's a great debate. It's a competitive thing, EJ. You got to pull out whatever you can.
Manny, the greatest NBA player to never win a title. Who you got?
I'll take the low-hanging fruit. And like Perloff said, if you're going to win this debate, you got to pick somebody who was denied by MJ.
The Pacers are expecting some kind of pick-and-roll play here between Starks and Ewing. Well, Ewing with the pick. Here's Starks. John Starks with the three. Ewing puts it down. And the Knicks by one. 26 seconds to go.
11-time All-Star Patrick Ewing, first team All-NBA, 86 Rookie of the Year. Again, just denied over and over and over again by Michael Jordan. Everybody else in the Eastern Conference never won a ring. I'll take the low-hanging fruit, be the homer, Patrick Ewing.
Bogus, finish the circle here.
Well, since I can't take Ewing, I guess I'll take
Miller for three, and he got it. Reggie Miller with a clutch tray, and it's 105-102. And a steal. Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again. Tie game.
You want Jordan victims. I got you, Reggie Miller. All those points, all those threes in the Hall of Fame. 75th anniversary team. And then we're talking about playoffs, as clutch as it gets. I give you Reggie Miller, the best NBA player without a ring.
That's insane.
just trolling our Knicks fans here
worth
proudly.
It, folks. You might not win this one, but worth it.
I don't know if EJ's going to put you on the poll, but you're on the poll in our hearts for this one. 888-710-4ISN. You know, you think it's funny when we asked this question yesterday, it seems like everyone's got their gut reaction when you say greatest NBA player.
Yeah, like one name comes to mind.
One name comes to mind, but there is not one guy because there's someone really significant who did not make our top five.
Who's that?
Karl Malone.
Well, it's Malone. Yeah, but Barkley, Malone, Ewing, I think are all clumped together. Those are the guys.
The Jordan victim.
Yeah. I mean, I think Manny and I were circling around Karl Malone. I looked at Karl Malone.
Yes. Me too.
Yeah.
I think we all did.
I think Reggie was a surprise. I thought he was going Karl Malone.
That's a lot of points.
The controversial name I wanted to put on, but I thought it would break the rules, was Kevin Durant, because bus riders count.
Yeah, he put that in the text, and I was like, I guess that's a Kevin Durant.
I mean, yes, technically he won a title,
and
but
two finals MVPs. Did he really?
Oh, yeah, that. He was along for the ride, yeah.
I mean, there are some guys who are playing now who may get in this debate.
Yeah, who do you think?
I mean, you hate James Harden, and not hate him personally, but how he plays. I think there are a lot of people who are going to look at him, the numbers. He's one of the great offensive players of this generation, and you know, but he's just been so bad in closeout games and all of that stuff. But I think he could be on a list.
We waiting on you, fool!
And what about Russ?
As well.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, also, you can't forget Alan Crabb and...
It feels like you're bad at NBA comparisons right now.
I'm just saying, James Harden, your great players would never win a title. All the guys we named didn't win a title not to their own fault. Someone great got in their way. James Harden systematically will never win a title because of the way he plays.
Eventually, you could have said Steph Curry got in his way.
Yeah, exactly. The Warriors got in his way.
Yeah.
He would have choked in Game 7 against anyone or in the next series. You guys totally overrate James Harden.
It's not overrating him. You think he should be in the G League. That's the difference.
You
think he's a great player who never won a title? He was never winning an NBA title. Neither was Russell Westbrook, for that matter.
Again, I mean...
You might have been along for the ride, maybe as like an eighth man. Those guys...
Those guys are better than Reggie Miller. Not even close. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Harden definitely is.
Okay.
No, Reggie was awesome. Reggie just played
Miller,
team ball.
Reggie Miller never made an All-NBA first team.
Go ahead, EJ.
Like, what are we doing here?
James Harden, you know where the ball is at all times.
Okay.
You could beat James Harden. Trust me.
And
Doc Rivers
Reggie Miller. They beat him for 20 years. What are you talking about?
Reggie was awesome.
Reggie didn't win the title. How are you going to...
Because of Jordan.
No, but he had to go against Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. So what,
and LeBron, if he had gotten through them.
Right. Yeah, what do you mean?
I think you guys are way overrating James Harden.
And then Reggie Miller, then he couldn't beat Kobe and Shaq. Then he couldn't beat Allen Houston and Spree. He had other opportunities besides
couldn't beat the Nets either, right?
Didn't beat the Nets and then didn't beat the Pistons.
One thing I'll say about Reggie, I also agree. I think that Reggie...
What are you doing over there, Bogus?
I think that Bogus is like, good point, even though it's his pick. We're asking the greatest NBA player who never won a title, but... The thing about Reggie, you know, I picked Allen Iverson, and I think Allen Iverson is to the extreme that he didn't have a great team around him outside of Mutombo. But Reggie also, look a little bit closely. I mean, big Rick Spitz fans around, and he was great, but, you know, a couple Davises, Dale and others.
Antonio. Pick one of them, man.
Well, they were both there, weren't they?
Yeah, Mark Jackson, yeah.
I mean, Mark Jackson was on the all-time assists, you know, he's up there in the all-time assists, you know, but no one believes Mark Jackson was a great player.
Yeah, I mean, I think Reggie was a great player. I'm a Knicks fan, we all know he was a great player. I just think that his performances against the Knicks have elevated him to a level... When you look at his stats and his resume, don't match up to Karl Malone. Like, don't match up to some of these guys.
I think
it doesn't match up.
I
to
totally
James
agree,
Harden.
But I think Reggie Miller's stats are a little deceiving because he shared the ball a lot. Like, he's like, I'm going to give Detlef his time. I'm going to give Sam Perkins outside. Like, he was definitely a team player.
That's why he ain't got no rings.
I also think to his credit, I think he was also like a prisoner of his time.
Yeah, they didn't do it that way.
I played in today's game, like, 100%. He would be encouraged to take more threes, and, like, he would have scored more points.
How many threes is he averaging a game, Reggie Miller, in today's game?
No, I mean, 12? I don't think Reggie Miller
was. The most he averaged in the season was 6. Like, he probably averaged 12 in today's NBA.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Today's great debate, the greatest NBA player to never win a title. Sounds like an easy question. The other person we did not put in here, Dominique.
Well,
Dominique is an amazing player. He's your kind of player, too. You love dunkers.
I mean, he's the most entertaining player.
In-game dunkers.
He's the most entertaining player. He was not that close to winning.
Immediate disdain out of Perloff after you said that.
All right, hang on.
Yeah. That's my era. Like, I just don't think Nick was going to win.
Epic series against the Celtics could have gone either way.
Nick was awesome.
Yeah, he was totally awesome, but, like, they weren't even close. He wasn't that kind of player. He wasn't that good a shooter.
888-710-4ISN. I mean, that was always the criticism of Dr. J, but obviously he won. 888-710-4476. Okay, tell us what you think. The greatest NBA star to never win a title. We also have lots more for you, including Joe Burrow with a weird criticism of the league. Gonna be honest. Sounds like whining to me. Get to that next.
I got this bracelet from a guy in the steam room.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I think I stumbled onto something here. It's Great Debate Wednesday. Best NBA player not to win a title. I've been going off this ESPN ranking the top 75 players of all time from 2022. They have Reggie Miller 51 and James Harden 50. I think they are about the same. I know James Harden numbers are crazy better and he's got the MVPs, but Reggie was super clutch where James Harden is not. Mm. And I put it out on Twitter, who do you got? And the first answer, Tom from Tampa, Reggie Miller. And then a lot of other players' name, but Reggie Miller is a legitimate choice here, I think.
We are asking, who is the greatest NBA player to never win a title? You can call us up at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. While we were...
Oh, sorry.
We were playing that music for one reason. But Mandy, can you cue it back up just to make sure that we get the full extent and the full impact of why we were playing... Yes. Na-na-na-na. Diana Rossini. Hours away from the owners' vote surrounding the future of the tush push, I'm told both the league's competition and players' health and safety committees have voted to ban the play. Despite the Eagles' best effort, the tush push is likely on its way out, sources say.
Mm.
Goodbye, tush push. See you never.
NFL's making a mistake here. You are much like when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. You're waking up a giant.
Oh, God. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. No, nothing like that.
There's a famous line in the movie about that where the Japanese general says, I fear we just woke up a giant. The Eagles needed bulletin board material. Thank you. Here we go. Thank you, America.
No,
ban the tush push. You're going to end up paying the price.
How about instead of saying this just woke up a sleeping giant, how about this is the secret sauce for the Philadelphia Eagles? This was something that gave them a mental edge where they believed they had something that was an unstoppable play that no one else could figure out. And basically, this is Superman's cape getting ripped off. You don't have it anymore. And how about the psychological damage it does to your team when you no longer can execute the unstoppable play? Because now you're just QB sneaking like everyone else.
Which works at almost the same exact percentage.
Yeah,
That's
88% of the
time. Yeah, compared to 92%. I would just say awake and a sleeping giant. Russell Wilson's very old, so he's probably napping. So they're probably also has to awake and a sleeping giant and tell him to touch. Anyway, try to get
joke.
Manny.
Yeah.
Try to rib Manny. No, this doesn't really concern me at all from a football standpoint. And you know why? It's because of you.
That.
It's your fault, Maggie. You've been saying, I mean, is a tush push really that big a deal? QB sneaks work all the time anyway. Tom Brady was at the same percentage. So it's not as automatic, but I still think also there are forms of it. I'm sure you can sneak in a little bump.
I'm telling you, I want to see Perloff's reaction. The first time we get a 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1 for the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts is in shotgun. You're going to freak out.
Can we get a live camera of that? Can we like stream that or something? We got to make that happen.
First of all, it's the dumbest thing in the world when any team does it, but it's an epidemic in the NFL. But when Jalen Hurts is in shotgun on 3rd-and-1, I just want to be there to see Perloff's face melt.
Normally, I hate that, but can you imagine being a lineman, having Jalen Hurts running out a shotgun at you, those giant quads.
Oh, come on. It's not giant college quads. Football. It's a terrible idea. No one should ever do it.
Jihad Campbell, the new rookie who's going to terrorize the NFL. Oh, my God. The Eagles are going to be good next year. I can't wait.
It looks like the tush push is on its way out. We'll get back to that in just a moment. That's according to Diana Rossini and her sources. Okay, let's get back to our great debate.
Crushed.
The greatest NBA player to never win a title. Sean's in Oregon. Sean, good morning, sir.
Good morning, you guys. I got to put the mailman up there. I mean, the mailman, he's got 50% more points than Charles Barkley or Allen Iverson. He's got twice as many MVPs. And this guy, I watched him get stopped by a lot of guys. You know, he had to deal with the Lakers. He had to deal with the Blazers. He is a small market team dealing with a lot of big dogs. And then with the year he did make the championship, he beat the Houston Rockets in six games in the Western Conference Finals. They had Hakeem, Charles Barkley, and Clyde Drexler.
Yep.
It was a big deal, you guys. And I really think he should have won that championship. And I think the NBA probably wanted to see the small market team win and wanted to keep Michael Jordan looking as the best player.
Listen, you tried to poison him. Right. He tried to poison Jordan with a pizza, what we learned in The Last Dance. Couldn't do it.
Well, I think Sean's saying the NBA helped Chicago
Jordan
get through. But, but Sean, then why'd they put San Antonio in right after Chicago?
Why they put San Antonio in right after? Well, that's because Jordan took off for a while. San Antonio.
I'm saying they do like small markets because they have a lot of NBA champions. But I hear what you're saying. Karl Malone, I think, was on all our list, Sean, just to be fair.
Definitely. I mean, the statistical profile, playing in the West, two-time MVP, right, Malone? I mean,
third all-time scorer.
Of course. Yeah, the statistical profile is there. He could easily. Now, why I picked Allen Iverson is because Iverson was overcoming a physical stature that, you know, Malone is obviously one of the best power forwards of all time. Had the pick and roll going with Stockton.
Yeah, he had Stockton. Iverson didn't have a Stockton or a...
Hell no. Iverson didn't have an anybody.
He had Dikembe.
Well, Sean, thank you very much for that.
Can anyone do a Dikembe impersonation?
Nope.
Not in my house. No.
There you go.
What's the first thing you think of with Dikembe Mutombo?
Cookie Monster.
No, finger wag.
Walking into the club asking ladies.
Who wants a sex Mutombo?
Who wants to
I don't even know
Mutombo
if it's true.
I thought the story, you know about that story, I thought the LeSean McCoy story was
the
story.
Oh, I don't know that one.
You never heard a story where he was like, he was dating somebody, and he was like, you know, the woman was like, I really appreciate this, but I really think that, you know, my boyfriend's not going to like this, and I don't really think we should continue. And then he went to the club to see the girl, and the girl's boyfriend was Dikembe Mutombo.
Yes, now I do remember.
Who was
that.
Also married.
Yes.
At the time, to somebody else.
Yeah, Shady probably shouldn't have told that story.
Shady's should like not. 5'11".
I know.
He was dating imagine the same that. Yeah.
The same woman was dating Shady McCoy and Dikembe Mutombo. You know, Pearl, variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Mike, who's in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Mike, what's up? Who's the greatest NBA player to never win a title?
Well, I first just wanted to say I'm real bummed to hear that they banned the tush push, or it's looking that way, being an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
I do find that to be disheartening. It seems every time Philadelphia gets an edge, like Allen Iverson's crossover or the tush push, they have to ban something to slow us down.
Yeah, so, preach,
one
Mike.
Wild
preach,
conspiracy
Mike.
Against the city of Philadelphia. Sounds right.
Wait, I watched the series with the Raptors and the Sixers back in the day. I know you said Allen Iverson, but the other guy involved in one of the best series I ever seen was Vince Carter. Vince Carter on the other side with the Raptors. I know he doesn't have the stats or the accomplishments, but being a young guy growing up in that time, Vince Carter was like a transcending talent. I mean, he was something nobody had seen before. The dunks, I mean, and you know, that series, him and Iverson just going back and forth carrying their teams that really didn't have anything, you know, really just... To me, I know it's not great. It's not the answer. People are going to be like, oh, yeah. But, you know, to me, he was another Kobe. And you were saying, like, Elgin Baylor. He was somebody I feel like that was, like, a transcendent talent that took the game to another level.
No, Mike, I think a lot of people loved Vince Carter. Still continue to. And that was a great series, a seven-game series. Thank you for the call. Yeah. Raptors versus your Philadelphia 76ers.
My all-time favorite player. I mean, hands down. And Listen, I was torn during that series because I worshipped Vince Carter since he came into the NBA. Even at UNC, I loved him. He did have to go to graduation the day before that last Game 7. Remember that story?
Yep.
And we were like, oh, it's nice that he's graduating, but dude, you got a game. Get your priorities straight.
He did get criticized for that. And then, obviously, eventually just really kind of blew his way out of Toronto. And people really kind of, like, forgave him for that. But normally we don't. We don't love it when guys are just...
Yeah, he pulled the James Harden.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, he was, like, not dunking on layup lines. Like, he was doing a lot of weird stuff to get himself out of Toronto.
He quiet quit.
Yeah.
Kind of like Juan Soto jogging out to right field all slowly. Right,
he's not
all
talking
sad.
About that yet. Still may. PJ's in Atlanta. PJ, who is the greatest NBA player to never win a title?
Pearl agrees.
Chris Paul.
It's a good one.
12-time All-Star. I mean, defensive first team a billion times. Steals, assist leader, anniversary team 75th. Mr. Basketball, North Carolina. He's the best player not to win a title, period.
PJ, it's a great one. And, I mean, now the longevity, and you can see.
And he's only 6 foot. Like, you give Iverson stuff. He's only 6 foot. It's not like he's 6'6 or nothing.
Yeah,
and,
got one.
And obviously, and Paul's a way better defender than Iverson was. So he might even have the leg up there.
Yeah, I think he was 6 or 7-time defensive first team and, you know, all NBA all over the place. I mean, yeah, so.
You know, the thing about him, he had that one Phoenix when he was in Phoenix against Milwaukee. That was his chance. Did we all think that was happening? Yep. Weren't they up 2-0?
Yeah.
I remember just thinking, oh, my God, finally Chris Paul gets one, and it didn't happen.
Well, weirdly, Giannis was, like, hurt in that playoffs and then just, like, magically got better and also magically became this great free-throw shooter, like, overnight.
Oh, my God, I remember that.
It was so weird. PJ,
feels like
ancient
history, but you're right. Giannis's free throws was such a big deal.
Well, it was the Bogusius team. Fans at Barclays Center counting down from 10 to try to get in Giannis's head, and it actually was working.
Well,
and,
I mean, he does take 20 seconds to shoot a free throw, but I digress.
Yeah, no, he does.
By the way, Chris Paul was no Allen Iverson. I disagree with that.
But I think I'm saying defensively, he was much better than Iverson.
He was definitely, but I think Iverson was a better player because Paul was never a dominant. He had stretches where he was a dominant offensive player.
Didn't nearly have the speed.
Chris
Paul was a floor general, though. One of the best we've ever had.
Two very different styles.
Yeah. Yep.
But, I mean, if you put an all-time player list, I'm putting Iverson ahead of Paul.
Wow. That's tough.
I don't think it's a big debate. Yeah.
I think that's a big debate.
I mean, find me a list where Paul's ahead of Iverson, I'd be surprised.
I think it's probably the MVP that breaks the tie, I would think. Let's go to JT, who's in Atlanta. The greatest player to never win a title is who?
Hey, real quick, though, Perloff. Don't worry about that ban. We need to go ahead and trademark a T-shirt right now that says "Ban That." Like every time we score and get, just go ahead and just get it going because they're not going to stop us anyway. It's just hate, not hate, but that's okay. as far as the, I'm going to say the father of the finger roll, George Gervin, for me, is one of the greatest players that never win one, and honorary mention to Alex English.
Oh, the best.
Two great ones. Definitely for Gervin. I'm just trying to look now. I mean, how many years in the ABA, right? 4 or 5 for Gervin for the NBA, for the merger.
I mean, there was an era where
game logs here.
It used to be NBA, if you were a great scorer, you were not viewed as a great player.
Yeah.
Like, everyone could distinguish. Yeah. Like, that's why I think James Harden is overrated. Yeah, he could score 30 points a game, but he's a version of George Gervin. And Alex English, you couldn't win. By the way, I totally apologize. Chris Paul is higher than Allen Iverson on the ESPN list.
Thank you.
I can't believe this. What am I talking about here? Allen Iverson's AI. Chris Paul is good, but he's AI. Anyway, I digress. There was a point where these great scorers couldn't win titles. Dominique, you mentioned. Like, I think like it used to be like, oh, those guys are great scorers, but they're not title-winning players. Now the line is blurred a little bit because SGA led the league in scoring, right?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Anthony Edwards hit more threes than anyone. Yeah,
but in terms of points per game, I believe it was
probably Shea.
Yeah, now you can be the leading scorer, but it used to be that they were different. Like Kelly Chipuka could put up 30 points a game and not win a title. Adrian Daly, Mark Aguirre.
But you know what's funny, though? Yeah. I do feel like, for some reason, the guys in the 80s playing in the West, for some reason, don't get any of the respect that these 90s guys that lost to Jordan did. Because Magic Johnson and the Lakers went to the finals almost every year.
Yeah. Oh, the West was terrible.
Eight out of 8 out of the 10 years. Well, these guys were getting blocked by Magic.
No, they were. All the good teams were in the East. Lakers had there was like the AFC East with the Bills. It was a Magic Carpet ride to the finals.
Well, the Lakers had some series where they struggled to win 6-7 games to get past these teams. So it wasn't like they were sweeping everybody. This was not a faux situation. Like, those guys, for some reason, they don't. We're talking about Allen Iverson, who had one playoff run, basically. And I love Allen Iverson. He's literally one of my favorite all-time players. But memorable playoff run in a terrible Eastern Conference. And we put him up. You know, Reggie Miller won finals one finals appearance. You know, like, we push these guys up in the East.
I'll tell you why.
In the 80s, we kind of just throw them away.
You couldn't watch every game. I remember when I first went to go work at the NBA right out of college at NBA TV, and I had to take out tapes from the library to watch George Gervin highlights and some of his games, because I wasn't getting that in upstate New York in the 90s and even in the 80s. You just weren't getting that kind of game. Yeah, the Lakers, because they were in the finals every year, you could see, but I wasn't getting San Antonio Spurs games on the East Coast.
Yeah, I don't remember there being consistently good teams. The Rockets snuck in a couple times, but it was a sneak in. Like, all the good teams were East, Milwaukee, Boston, Philly.
Dallas multiple times. I'm looking at through the series. Yeah. They played them to 6-7 games. San Antonio twice played them to 6 games.
In the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it right
okay.
now.
Okay.
They did have some runs where they won.
Mark Aguirre?
They beat everybody.
But those were not great, great teams. Those were not all-time teams.
You ever wonder, too, if, like, you know, Bill Walton had stayed healthy in Portland before he got traded to the Boston Celtics. Anyway, we are a little late to the update. Great debate today. Greatest NBA player to never win a title. Bogush, busy day.
So just to recap, on the final day of these owners' meetings in Minneapolis, we are expecting the NFL to approve the Packers' proposal that bans the tush push. We are not expecting approval for the change to playoff seeding. And we are expecting approval of another extension for Roger Goodell, who has been the commissioner since 2006 and was already signed through 2027. And a reminder that he makes infinity $1 million every year to have this job.
Is there a point where he's so rich now that he could buy into a team in a significant way?
Probably.
If he wasn't commissioner?
I mean, football teams are crazy expensive now.
I know, but he's making $50 million a year.
A year, yeah.
So that's 10 years would be how much? Basically, I think NFL teams are worth about $9 to $15 billion now.
No, I'm just saying, how much did Brady have to pay in for?
For 5%?
Not getting a majority stake, but...
Well, the Niners just sold a chunk. I wonder how much that was.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw that it was... I really don't want to make it some number, but I really thought I saw something that it was like the highest... buy-in ever. It was like $8 billion, I think.
No, so they didn't pay $8 billion.
The valuation.
It was based on an $8.6 billion. That was the Niners are worth $8.6 billion.
Gotcha. Okay, my bad. I read that wrong.
But still, I mean, it's the same idea. Like, that's what he's buying into. But if he's making $50 million a year, is that the highest annual average value in the league?
He's right up there with the
highest
Brock
paid. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and also he doesn't have a shelf life. Like, he's going to go. But he's still going to retire, right?
He's getting another contract.
Through what year?
He already had one through 2027. So
I thought he announced his retirement. Am I imagining that?
You must be confusing him with Manfred.
No, Roger Goodell said, I'm done at the... I thought he said, I'm done at this specific year and I'm moving on. But...
I don't think so.
Do you remember? No.
Why would you cut off the cash flow? By the way, the guy still has to colonize the moon and put football there, so he's got work to do.
You're so right.
He has 2 years left on his deal, but Mike Florio says, as of February of this year, don't expect Roger Goodell to retire anytime soon.
No, Manfred was the one who said, what, four years?
Yes, Manfred said that he's leaving for sure.
And we had Nance projecting to like his 50th Masters, which is like 8 years away.
Right, okay, so when Goodell signed his last deal... Friends. Spokesman Joe Lockhart declared this would be Goodell's final deal.
Nope.
And we started to talk about who would take over for him. There was even a bunch of articles who internally would take over. He was going to walk away.
I think that changed. You're right.
But why?
I don't know.
$50 million.
Good question. Yeah.
$50 million.
No, I know why it changed from his. Like, again, he can never spend all this money. He's in his 60s. It's probably worth a
challenge accepted.
Try me.
Goodell? What is Goodell spending his money on?
Probably maybe
white sneakers.
Political campaign.
Yeah, there's never enough money for these people.
That's true, but he will die with 95% of that money in his bank account.
Not if he runs for governor of New York or something.
Like his dad?
Yep. I think his dad is a senator. Back to you, folks.
Game one of the Western Conference Finals in OKC was going well for the T-Wolves until it wasn't. Chris Finch's team, led by four at halftime, was still in front halfway through the third, only to lose by 26.
We didn't have a lot of patience in the second half, and then our rushed offense, didn't get a bunch of quality looks, and then it affected our defense.
The Thunder won that second half 70-40 to win the game 114-88. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scoring 20 of his 31 after halftime. Julius Randle had just 8 over the last two quarters. Anthony Edwards did not score in the fourth. Caitlin Clark, 27 points and 11 assists, but she and the Fever couldn't steal a win from the Dream last night. Atlanta lost a 9-point fourth quarter lead, but won the game 91-90 in Indy on a Ryan Howard free throw with 9 seconds left. The Carolina Panthers suffered their first home loss of these playoffs, 5-2. Excuse me, the Carolina Hurricanes lost to the Florida Panthers.
I was going to say, you're already giving the Panthers L's? 5-2.
This is hockey, and that was game one of the Eastern Conference Final. 14 saves for Bryce Young. And this is about 17 too many.
1-0, swing and a high drive. I think we're going to make it 7. Doyle is back at the track, at the wall. He leaps, it's gone. And Kyle Schwarber homers into the hedges in dead center field. His 17th home run of the season.
I need a drink. Scott Fransky, Phil's Radio. Homer 17 for Schwarber and another Phillies win. 7-4 in Colorado. That's 5 in a row. And since the Mets lost again at Fenway, the Phillies lead the NL East by a game and a half. Their magic number is like 3. Back to you guys.
What a turn. Baseball's fun, right, guys?
The only reason why Perloff is watching his own Philadelphia Phillies is because he is Kyle Schwarber in our home run derby.
Well, last year was disappointing because the Phillies were the best team all year long, and then you don't want to do that in baseball. I'm looking into the sports science of this. You got to peak. Can't peak in May.
This is not new.
That's why Juan Soto's got everyone where he wants him.
Oh, so the Mets have a chance is what you're saying.
The Mets are doing it exactly right. I mean, remember the Mets destroyed us last year, so what it counted. So, yeah, I'm not going to get too hype here.
Okay, coming up, we have to get to this Joe Burrow sound from yesterday. Joe Burrow at the podium had a lot of interesting things to say. And one, though, kind of felt like whining a little bit. I don't think people believe Joe Burrow is much of a whiner. So we've got that for you and a lot more. Also, keep them coming. It's the great debate today. Greatest NBA player to never win a title. Who you got?
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Great debate on Wednesday, the greatest NBA player to never win a title. You can give us a call at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Perl, it feels like this is really building up to be a really big season for the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we move on pretty fast in sports, but ever since that run to the Super Bowl, which was a surprise, you know, things have just not gone the way we thought for Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. We thought they'd be a mainstay, and they did get back to the AFC Championship game after that. But, you know, for Burrow's talent and for the team that's around him, I know the defense has struggled, but offensively, they are a wagon. So it feels like it's all these other things that have gotten in their way. Slow starts, you know, again, the defense not being very good, not making enough of an investment in the defense. But I was a little surprised that Joe Burrow had some specific gripes about what is going on with the Bengals. First, complaining yesterday, and Manny, I'll take cut 4, about this being the fourth season in a row where the Bengals have to play a night game in Baltimore.
You know, playing in Baltimore for the fourth straight primetime year isn't ideal. Maybe we could get one of those in Cincinnati next year, please.
I get please. It. I don't know if saying pretty please is going to convince the people, the schedule makers, but gonna be honest, like, I don't think the Joe Burrow of 3 years ago is saying something like this. It seems a little complainy. It seems a little whiny. Here's the other thing. At the same time, when Joe Burrow is upset that he's not getting a home primetime game against the Baltimore Ravens, he's also upset that the Bengals haven't been picked to play an international game since he's been the quarterback.
Maybe an international game next year, too. You know, I think, you know, part of the reason I wanted to do the quarterback show, I wanted to help grow the game internationally. And so to not have a stage like that is a little disappointing. Please.
What? Like, what are you talking about, man? I love Joe Burrow. He's amazing. He might be the second best quarterback in the league. He will be an MVP at some point. But, dude, are you serious? You're complaining you're not getting a home game against Baltimore. And literally in the same press conference, you also want to take your team thousands and thousands of miles because you want to grow the game internationally. Is that grow the game internationally, or do you want to grow your Joe Burrow brand internationally? And I've never thought this way about Burrow. I've never thought he's a me first guy or a my brand guy or anything like that until I listened to this press conference yesterday. I'm like, what is he talking about?
But wait, maybe it's like Minnesota, who has this brilliant little quirk where they have two road games in Europe, so they don't have to go to Cleveland, they don't have to go to Pittsburgh because they got to Europe. Maybe Burrow is looking at the Browns and saying, I'm sorry, the Vikings, and saying that's an awesome thing. Lost road games.
Who in the world, what player in the world wants to actually go play in Europe? It's so disruptive. The body clock, no one's figured it out yet. And to stay there for 2 weeks, I just feel like this is a weird turn here from Burrow to be complaining. First of all, you don't get a home game against Baltimore in primetime, but then also to complain that the league's not shipping you out to Germany. Like,
I don't know. I feel like you're ripping him, though.
I'm just surprised because I don't think that Burrow is a guy who's trying to prioritize his brand. But this, I can't think of another reason why you'd actually be begging for an international game. You cannot tell me that Joe Burrow really gives a crap about growing the game internationally. Why would he ever care about that?
He's getting
paid as much as anybody in the league. He's taking a more percent of salary cap than any other quarterback in the NFL. It's Roger Goodell's, you know, that's his job to grow the game internationally. It's not Joe Burrow's. What does he care?
I don't know. What do you care?
Quarterbacks in the league who's trying to win a title.
Yeah, but this has no impact on any of that. I feel like you're shredding Joe Burrow.
He deserves it in this case.
No, he does deserve anything. These are just two offhanded comments about the special. This is why quarterbacks don't want to get up at the podium. You're tearing apart these minor little statements from him.
He brought it up. He's bringing this up.
Is it maybe a little whiny? I agree with that, but it's not a big deal. I mean, it makes it sound like you think this is going to be like, oh, maybe Joe Burrow plays a victim role too much and he's not going to win a Super Bowl. Like, do you think this has an impact?
Please. I just can't imagine ever wanting to get up there to say, we're intimidated by going to Baltimore to play night games. Like, what are you doing? You've been in the Super Bowl.
I saw Warren Sharp say they're the only team who's ever had to do this exact thing. Like, it's crazy how much they screw the Bengals with the schedule.
Kansas City comes to Buffalo in the regular season, it feels like, all the time.
That's by formula, though. That has nothing to do with a choice.
Okay, but do they ever complain about it? I never hear Kansas City being like, man, we really don't want to go to Buffalo again. No, you play who's on your schedule. You're going to play the Ravens. They're in your division. I just can't imagine. It almost feels like you're trying to duck the smoke in a weird way. Like, but you're the team who's been to the Super Bowl more recently than the Ravens have.
Well, I just think it's like, I don't see, that's not how I see Joe Burrow as a player at all. Like, there's no ducking smoke. There's no not team first. Like, that dude shows up even in a hard situation. Like, there's an obvious problem with the Bengals. Like, their team building is garbage.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. This is so, it felt like it was out of character. It was against type. And he's the one who's bringing it up. Like, the fact that they're not getting an international game, that's what you're worried about to grow the NFL?
He's sitting at a podium. He's not worried about it. I mean, do you think that he's not going to deliver? First of all, he is like the ultimate team guy. He really, like,
I know,
everyone worships him. Like, he does everything right. This is not a blemish in any way to me.
I'm not saying it's a blemish, but it is whiny.
Sounds like you are saying that.
Well, I'm just surprised by it. I'm surprised by it that this is the focus, if it is the focus at all for a guy like him. Like, you should be thinking, I'm going to go into Baltimore and I'm going to kill them, right? It doesn't matter when, where, give me them on a neutral field, on their home field. Like, Where's the imposing your will, the one trying to be the intimidator? We don't care. When they made it to the Super Bowl, they were a wild card team that had to win all their road games. They're known as Road Warriors. They're the team that actually goes into Arrowhead and can win. Burrowhead? How far away are we from that? So it just is a weird turn for Burrow, and he's going to be on
this. It's not a turn. He's fine. He's going to be great.
Burrowhead,
he's got to stay healthy. He's amazing. That guy will show up everywhere. And I mean, honestly, without him, this franchise is the Browns. I mean,
I'm not disagreeing about that, but yeah. I'm just saying, this is a team that we thought was really going to be a mainstay.
Yeah, until they let everybody go, and they basically, I've seen Jesse Bates being awesome. I'm going to see Trey Hendrickson probably be awesome somewhere else. Like, they have a guy who's left on their defense.
They did exactly what Burrow asked them to this offseason. Signed Ja'Marr Chase, re-signed T. Higgins.
They haven't done Hendrickson yet, though.
That was always felt like third on his list of priorities.
Well, he's saying it now. I mean, they have a real problem. Their defense stinks.
Coming up next at 888-710-4ISN if you want to weigh in. Coming up next, our pal Joe Varden from The Athletic covers the NBA. He'll join us in studio. Don't move.